Blog Talk Radio.
Charlie Brown, a Charlie Brown.
I can't believe it. She must think I'm the most stupid person alive.
Come on, Charlie Brown. I'll hold the ball and you kick it.
Hold it? Ha! You'll pull it away and I'll land flat on my back and kill myself.
But Charlie Brown, it's Thanksgiving.
What's that got to do with anything?
Well, one of the greatest traditions we have is the Thanksgiving Day football game. And the biggest, most important tradition of all is the kicking off of the football.
Is that right?
Absolutely. Come on, Charlie Brown. It's a big honor for you.
Well, if it's that important, a person should never turn down a big honor. Maybe I should do it. She wouldn't try to trick me on a traditional holiday. This time I'm gonna kick that football clear to the moon! God!
Isn't it peculiar, Charlie Brown, how some traditions just slowly fade away?
Nothing. I was just checking the mailbox.
What did you expect? A turkey card?
Holidays always depress me.
I know what you mean. I went down to buy a turkey tree. And all they have are things for Christmas.
For Christmas? Already?
Anyway, why should I give thanks on Thanksgiving? What have I got to be thankful for? All it does is make more work for us at school. Do you know what we have to do now? We have to write an essay on Stanley Miles.
You mean Miles?
It's Charlie Brown Christmas. I'm telling you, poor guy tried to kick that football for 20 years. He still ain't kicked that football. Well, he's got a good attitude, and, you know, Charlie Brown used to be the big show. I remember when Charlie Brown was coming on, we all ran to the television. Grinchy stole Christmas. Detroit Lions lost every year on Christmas Day, but they won this year. This has got to be a miracle in Detroit. Detroit Lions actually won their Thanksgiving football game. We got Dre's Place Barbecue and Andre Bullock on the line. What's going on, Dre?
What's going on? Happy Thanksgiving, America. America, we just want to say thank you for inviting us to do Let's Talk Radio nationally. Well, Dre's Place Barbecue, as the rotisserie turns, want to thank barbecue superstars for giving us this grand opportunity. How was your Thanksgiving, sir?
We've enjoyed it. We went out and cooked us a big old turkey today, and we did some different stuff to it, Dre. We rubbed it down with mustard and hot sauce before we put the rub on it. And
tell me how that turkey turned out.
Oh, man, it was so good. We injected it heavy with butter and this other special injection we put together, and so that really moistened it up good. And then the skin was fabulous color. That mustard, mustard puts a good color on it. And so we had a great day. The turkey came out good. We just got through eating a big old meal. And how's your day going today, Drake?
Well, my day is going great, America. I just want to say thank you, God, for sticking by me in my recovery. I'm in actually laying down in the hospital bed trying to recuperate on the hip surgery from this week, last week, Friday, and I'm doing great, and my spirits is up, and because America just stands behind me so much and shows me so much love. You guys give me a lot of inspiration to working hard so I can get back out here and get back on the barbecue circuit and cook some more great barbecue for America.
Man, that's what it's all about. Now, we've been there when you was cooking that good barbecue. We actually just came from Jacksonville, Florida with you, and boy, what a great time that was. We sold turkey legs, didn't we?
Yes, we did. We did. Hey, we did Thanksgiving before Thanksgiving even got here, as many turkey legs as we sold. There we had an opportunity to have barbecue superstars come out and finish up after Rotisserie Turns season for this year. Our first season is done. We had a great time going around the country this year. We're looking forward to next year starting as the Rotisserie Turns all over. We'll be having the trailer redone. We can put a big theme on a new trailer or as the Rotisserie Turns. We're really excited about some of the things that's happening. We got an opportunity last week to do a couple cooking shows, so I was excited about the cooking shows we got to do.
Well, it looks like we already got a caller, 781-408. Go ahead.
Come on in, caller. How's your Hello? Thanksgiving today? Happy Thanksgiving. Let's talk barbecue.
781-408, you might have just called in to listen, but
you know
what Thanksgiving means. Hey, how we doing?
Hello, how are you?
We're doing good,
all
right, man. Who are you?
Keep us here. How you doing?
All right. Go ahead, Dre. It's probably somebody you
And what's your name, sir? Who's calling in this evening?
This is Roland calling from Massachusetts.
From Boston, Massachusetts? We got Boston, Massachusetts on the phone. America, see America, we don't never know who's going to call in to Dre's Place Barbecue.
Yes, sir.
How's things going in Boston?
It's a little snowy up here, a little cold. You know, it's like 30 degrees.
Well, tell me, Mr. Roland, did you cook some turkeys this weekend?
Yeah, actually, I smoked 14 turkeys for a couple of people. You know, I do private events and, you know, weddings and stuff like that. But, Dre, I've been following you for some time, and I really like your style, and I was just wondering how you keep those briskets so tender and so juicy without wrapping them.
Well, my technique is a little unorthodox from traditional people that cook brisket. I cook my brisket on my grill low and slow, and I never have to wrap the brisket up, and it always stay moist and juicy. That's a good question you asked me that. I season it well. I ain't going to tell my exact trade secrets, but what I will share with you is that if you cook them low and slow, you don't have to wrap a brisket to make it be tender.
Now, do you inject or no?
Now, competition, I inject. Non-competition, I don't inject. Now, the people, I go with what the people love the most. The people that follow Dre's Place Barbecue around and they eat Dre's Place Barbecue, they really don't want no injection barbecue. They want their barbecue to be naturally just smoked to the purest point, be really good like I make it. And if I just stay on something that ain't broke, it ain't no need for fixing it.
Now up here, you know, up here in Mass, we don't really
And that's in Boston, Massachusetts, that is?
Yes, and my company is Little Bit of Smoke @gmail.com. And we don't really use that vinegar base, but I'm willing to try it, and I'm trying to, you know, get a couple of cases of that if I could.
Well, the vinegar-based barbecue sauce is basically for two things. It's for chicken, chopped pork, and pork butts and ribs. So you can put it on your ribs, you can put it on your pork butts, and you can put it on your chicken. And those are the things. Now, the brisket, I use a whole different technique. I just don't use the vinegar base on that. It's not designed for that.
Okay.
And the vinegar base is just truly designed for your pork butts, your chicken, and your ribs.
Okay.
And if you use that on your chicken ribs and your pork butts, man, it makes get that barbecue sauce on the market here in the next couple of months. I actually got a call this week just before I went to surgery on Friday. I got a call, and my barbecue sauce is going to be soon. So he was getting the plant switched around now. So as of January 1, the plant will be already up and running with all of the new stuff that they put into the plant.
Awesome.
So it shouldn't be long after that before our sauce will actually hit the marketplace.
Awesome.
So and we're real excited about that.
Okay, and one more question because I don't want to tie up your line. Now, that mesquite you use, we don't get that up here. We get mesquite, but not in the log form that you have in that gray bag. Is anyone can get that online? Or?
Well, you can always order it through me if you got to get it, but I have to have it shipped to you. So it's always easier if I just give you the name of the charcoal and you get, go to U.S. Foods or Cisco Foods. One of those two manufacturers, as long as you order at least 10 bags or more, you'll always be able to get that charcoal. Now, Daryl, you know from your experience with me over the last six, 7 months, I've used that charcoal, and that charcoal is some kind of awesome, isn't it, Daryl? Tell me what you think about that charcoal.
Well, I tell you, it burns longer. Now, I've seen Dre take half or three-quarters of a bag and line the back of that big red that he's got on there, a big red grill, 300-gallon tank. And it starts the fire on one end, like when they come in at 10 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, and 12 o'clock that night, somehow, it's still at the other end, the grill's still 250-300 degrees.
Wow,
I've never seen
awesome.
Anything like it.
You can't
do that with no damn blue bag, I'll tell you that right now.
So, no.
So my friend is getting ready, Mr. Roller Copeland is getting ready to come to Atlanta to check on his new friend here in the hospital. So he's coming to
oh,
the
yeah.
Area of America.
Yep.
Now, that's making friends, America.
Yep.
He's
going to
leave
Saturday morning
and come all the way to Atlanta to visit a guy he's never met before. Now, that creates a friendship.
Yep.
That's what you want to call a friendship in barbecue. And we met at barbecue. You see me on the New York Times. See me in the New York Times throwing down barbecue. See, America just don't know where I've been and where I'm going yet.
Right.
But you stick around, you'll see me.
Mm-hmm. And Dre, one more time, for anybody to make the New York Times, besides the big money guys, the stocks and all that, it's very impressive. Because it takes a lot to make the New York Times. It takes a lot, believe me. And you made it in... Actually, a lot of people up here want to meet you, but like I said, I'm going to meet you soon, and guys are giving me money to buy stuff from you, so, you know, hopefully, we're going to meet together and do the thing.
Well, that's what we're going to do, because that's what it's all about. It's all about meeting people in America. Not only do I want you to take some great pointers from me to meet along the path, because
right. They'll
all give you a piece of something, and you put all those pieces together, guess what? You'll have a whole pie. You know, don't miss the miracle. I always tell my friends, don't miss the miracle because you never know when the miracle's going to happen.
Right.
So you just keep on taking all the pieces that you get, and sooner or later, your pie will be full, and you'll be able to have something really awesome. Now, I have worked for at least 10 years at doing what I'm doing now. And so my pieces of my pie is finally coming together, and I take a piece from here and a piece from there, and I toss it all up and I rub it all down. The only thing I don't really mess with is the North Carolina barbecue seasoning and sauce. Now, that is 5 generations old.
Right.
So you don't fix something that ain't broke.
Exactly.
And that is definitely not broke, so I'm not trying to fix that. That was left to me as a legacy.
All
so
right.
I'm going to make that legacy live on. Along with a couple other things that I make specially. But I just want to say it's definitely truly a pleasure having you. We want you to stick around. We want to see if we got any more callers on the line. Mr. Roland, give us some final words about barbecue in your spirits and barbecue, Mr. Roland, this evening.
Actually, I love it. It's a lot of patience. And food brings a lot of people together. And then you meet a variety of different people from different states, and it's just a home thing that they've been doing for years, And I love to cook. I mean, I can
now,
work
10 for... how long have you been actually cooking barbecue and selling and retailing your barbecue in concession shows?
Okay, it's been 5 years. I'm still a rookie. It's been 5 years. And I learned from my grandmama. And, you know, we're from North Carolina. And I moved up here when I was 10. But I go back and forth. And I've experienced a lot of things. I meet people on the highway of different journeys. And I meet a lot of different people. So, you know, I'm still in the learning process. But when I make something for somebody, I make sure it's on the money.
You put some love in it?
Oh, I always loving it. Slow.
That's bingo.
And low.
That's a bingo. And you know, I'm really excited about you, Mr. Coleman, because your spirits are so high. So I just want to ask you a couple more quick questions. Now, in your concession side of your company, not your catering side, on your concession side, how has it progressed for you in the last couple of years as during your concession side of the company?
It's been like because we have the winter days, and it slows down in the winter. In the winter, it's more like people do like VFWs, and I do a lot of flea markets, things like that. And, I mean, in the winter, it's pretty good too, but the summer is really booming because you got the carnivals and everything. See, up here up north, the weather conducts everything. You know, it changes a lot of things. We get a lot of snow up here, and it's cold, you know.
So have you done a lot of competitions too?
Actually, I just did two. I did two. And I want to get into that more. So that's why I'm coming to see you and be with you and saw a couple of competitions. And then I can experience more when I'm out there.
Great, man, and we're really excited about having you on the team. You know, it's always great to have a person that's got enthusiasm, that's got to be enthusiastic, because it takes a lot of work to make the people happy. See, the people is the most important person to me. It's the people.
Right.
It's the people.
Right.
And the reason I say it's the people is because if you work on the concession side of the company and not just the contest, well, they pay your payroll, they pay for you to hire people to work with you, they help you stay living and keep on feeding your family, and that's the exciting part, because people can always come to people that they like that's doing positive.
Right.
And that's what we're going to build. We're building that USA Barbecue Association network to be different, that you will have an equal opportunity as me to win a competition. And that's what that USA Barbecue Association is all about. It's for the people, not just the people that's in one city or one town or one place or one area. It's for everybody. Anybody can get in the competition and stand a chance to win the competition. And that is awesome. And that's what Dre's Place Barbecue as a rotisserie turn has learned, that the USA Barbecue Association is backing us, and we are backing them, and we are trying to promote them. And we're going to bring a show to Boston. That's what we're going to do. We're going to bring a show to Boston, and we're going to turn it out.
Yeah, we have
a lot of barbecue in Boston.
We have the Phantom Gourmet, and they do that down City Hall and Government Center. And they have vendors from all over Texas, Memphis, Chicago, and everything. So that's what I want to try to introduce you to, the Phantom Gourmet. It's a week event. And it's at, you know, City Hall. I mean, people can look it up, the Phantom Gourmet. And they pick the best barbecue, and they give awards and trophies. And it's one of the big events that's in Boston, Massachusetts, that a lot of people like.
Well, that's great, Mr. Rowland. Well, we thank you and your family that you'll stay strong and that you'll have a safe journey to Atlanta, Georgia this weekend coming up. And we're going to be looking forward to shaking your hand, even with a bad hip and arm. We're truly looking forward to it. And I know my friend is on the radio with us, Mr. Carol Mann from the USA Barbecue Association, is truly looking forward to meeting you eventually. And am I saying that right, Mr. Carol?
That's right. And I tell you, I got one thing to say before you go. We got ribs, we got chicken, we got baked beans and collard greens. Fried
as the rotisserie turns, Dre's Barbecue.
That's what it is.
The days of our lives. Yes, sir.
Do we got any other callers on the line?
No, not right now.
Oh,
no.
Well, we got time to talk, Mr. Rose. Any questions you want to ask you, all right? Come on with it.
Hello?
You got the barbecue superstar on the line, which
I yeah,
got now
I mean,
bad.
Now, I like what he said.
Go ahead.
I like what you prepared too. The gentleman that's talking to me, I like the pairs too.
Daryl?
Daryl, I like what you prepared too. A couple of things you prepared, I kind of liked it too, you know?
Okay, some of the.
Daryl prepared that you like the most.
I think he did some ribs, and I like his rub.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, I've used a lot of different rubs, so was it rub for grub or?
It was a rub for grub. I like that.
Yeah, now, rub for grub is by Junior Reyes out of Texas. And
okay.
He's got a place, he's called Up and Smoke is his team name. His name is Junior, and last name U-R-I-A-S. And you can purchase rub for grub. Now, it's got some good red color. You get out there selling ribs, you got that beautiful red color on there, they're going to look at their ribs, they're going to knock their eyes out.
Right. Nice.
They'll start buying like crazy. And he's coming out with a brisket rub and some... soaks, brines. He said he believes in brines more than he does injections.
Wow.
He's got some brines, he said it will penetrate all the way through the meat. And so a 24-hour brine. And I'm very interested to see these. When I was in Texas and I was visiting with him, he was very emphatic that he felt it could do a much flavorful job than an injection can because it totally encompasses the meat and adds to the actual volume. So I'm waiting for him, anticipating for these brines to come out. But I tell you now, that Dre's place has got that 300-gallon tank, and because of the enclosure, like that brisket stays moist because it acts like its own aluminum foil. You got a closed case there. There's no place for that moisture to go. And I tell you, he puts that stuff on in the morning, and by 4 o'clock when everybody comes out, it's all ready, fresh, and ready to go. And I never seen anybody cook barbecue the way he does.
I know.
Great pace and something else,
I rewind the tape, and I said, I don't see no aluminum foil. And I'm like, I can't understand how that brisket stays so moist.
The thing about it is, I thought 300-gallon tank, that's not enough size to get enough meat off to keep up with the, you know, I was afraid he's going to fall behind. He stays right with it. And he ain't never been out that I've been there, except at night when you want to run out. And I'm like, I don't see how this guy's cooking all this food on this one, you know, but he does it good. But that is Gwinnett now. Gwinnett, he had two of them now. So you do sometimes use more than one, don't you, Dre?
Yeah, I use more than one sometimes, especially when I'm loading down with turkey legs, man. Turkey legs suck up a lot of heat and a lot of space when you cook it 2,500 cases. When you cook it 100 cases, 125, 150 cases of turkey legs in 10 days, that's a lot of turkey legs.
Whew.
And the average buck's got anywhere from 15 to 20 in the case.
Wow.
Daryl got a little experience last couple of weeks ago. He got a chance to see me really throw down on some turkey legs.
Yeah. Now,
he got a chance to see how I really do it.
See, those turkey legs, I want to introduce those to Boston Mass because we don't do those turkey legs like that big.
In Boston, you probably can get $12 a piece. Here in Atlanta area, in the I've only been getting $10 a piece, but this year I'm going to have to go up to $12 because all food costs are going up so high. Everything is going up. When the gas come down, the price of food, they came down. The price of food still going up.
Right. Right. Now, what's that, that buttermilk chicken is that?
Ah. What we did is we shot a commercial for Texas Pete hot sauce.
Right.
And I decided to make a buttermilk Pete Texas hot sauce buttermilk seasoning for
chicken.
Chicken.
Man, was it good. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that Texas Pete chicken and buttermilk is awesome, buddy.
That hot sauce is awesome, too. I went
very
out and got it. We have it up here. Yes, it is. I went out and got that. It's awesome.
Now, did you actually make the chicken?
Actually, I started, but I didn't make it. But this weekend, I'm free. You know, I think I'm going to do it tomorrow.
Well, what you got to make sure you do is use fresh grease, no old grease. You got to use fresh grease, and that's going to make the chicken, and let it cook a little longer and turn it down to about 325.
Okay.
Turn it down to about 325 so it can go all the way to the bone. But I tell you what, you get that buttermilk and you put that hot sauce in that buttermilk and you put some salt and some pepper and some sweet salt and whatever else you like for seasoning your meat, you put some right on the chicken, let it sit there a few minutes and then put some black pepper. And then you let it sit there for a few minutes, you put them same ingredients inside of your buttermilk.
Yeah.
And man, when you dip that thing down there, man, and bring it up out of there, oh my God, it's so good.
Dre, one funny thing though is when we were shooting, Daryl was shooting, and you closed the cabinet. I was trying to see what you had in your cabinet while you were seasoning. I said, and I rewinded. And you was like, hold on, let me close the cabinet right here. I was like, okay.
Hey, you notice your certain label down somehow. You just can't see what it is.
No, he's got the label on his hand upside down. So I said, okay. You know, because believe me, I watch everything. I watch everything.
Well, you know, Ron wanted something today.
One thing I'm trying to introduce to the country, to be honest with you, and Dre did it, is, you know, that habanero and jalapeno flavor you can put into food if you use it in the cooking process and you cook the food in it rather than if you sprinkle it on after it's cooked. You know, a lot of children and wives, they're going to be like, oh, God, it burnt me up. But you do like Dre did and put it in the cooking process, you'll get that flavor, but you won't get the heat.
Okay.
And I think that's a new concept I'm trying to come up with, and I think people in America get hooked on it. Twang, there's something that habanero, jalapeno, and red pepper add to a flavor, you know. And because I tell you, I've drank that hot sauce. It'll burn you up.
Oh, yeah. You know, because I deal with a lot of kids, too, you know, as far as elementary schools and stuff. So I have to kind of watch it when I put my, you know, my hot stuff. So, I mean, up here, it's like everything's, like, a little bit different because people, like, health conscious. You know, diabetics, so I can only use so many seasonings and so much salt and everything. So it's like different things how we have to cook up here. So up here you have to be very versatile, you know, which that I don't mind, you know. And I know when I see Dre go through with the health department is no joke all around the world. You know, believe me, they're on top of it, which is good, you know, because we have to keep people safe and everything, you know. But one thing about that lemonade, Dre, I don't understand is you boil the sugar, right?
No, we don't boil no sugar.
I mean, well, you boil the water.
No, we don't boil
the
water.
For the tea.
That's the tea you boil the water in.
Yeah, okay, that's the tea. That's what I was making a mistake at, yeah.
Now, the lemonade is made with fresh bottled water.
We use
a fresh bottle of water, fresh lemon,
yeah.
And sugar. And that's how we make our lemonade. Our lemonade is phenomenal. People haven't caught on. Now, I used to make it with a filter, but it cost me 10 cents more to make it with a fresh bottle of water to give people a lot better taste, and they know where the water's coming from.
Right.
And so people have gotten so health conscious, you're right. When they see you make that lemonade with fresh bottled water, guess what? People come back, man, and they kind of happy. It's the water that makes a difference. It's how the water tastes.
Right.
And
okay.
My wife, she does a phenomenal job with that iced tea. When you say
she
you
does.
Want sweet Georgia tea, she does a phenomenal job. She's awesome on it.
Yeah. Miss Pat is not nice.
Well, you know, the last show we had was really a great opportunity for her, too. I got a chance to watch her really, really do her thing this last episode that we did in Jacksonville. But we had over 30-some people show up for a job.
Really?
Over 30 people showed up for a job at Dre's Place Barbecue.
Wow.
The first 15 people had got eliminated because they all had some background problems that they couldn't pass.
Right.
So that eliminated 15. Well, out of those next 15 that I had, I kept 6 of them. Well, 2 more of them didn't make the cut. They just didn't make the cut.
Now, those 2 was crazy. They came down there after the show was over and showed out. They showed out
the last 4 we had, the last 4 stuck like troopers, and they all got paid swell.
Nice.
Oh, they was big,
they
man.
They went home with nice paychecks.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Because
they got it done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so when people come to Dre's Place Barbecue and think it's just going to be easy because I'm a minority person that's cooking, and I'm the only minority that actually is on a lot of the circuits here in the Georgia, Atlanta area that actually follows the circuit around.
Right.
You know, people sometimes, they don't, you know, I don't think they do it out of just thinking people are ignorant on what they do. But they don't look at it as if they should look at it. This is a job. If you, I don't care who you're working for. Just go to work a job. You got to do whatever your boss tells you to do. Well, guess what? You're going to get fired from your job. You're going to lose your job.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people fall short. I had a chef that was supposed to be a chef. He couldn't get past drunk. So he could never teach this chef skills. He wasn't impressive to me.
Right.
And then we had another young lady. She was okay, but she didn't want to say that she didn't have no way to get to work every day. Now, I want to hire somebody that ain't got a way to get to work. Now, why don't you come to the job and you ain't got no way to get to the job? Now,
right.
How much sense did that make? So that means some people be out for a free ride. You know what I mean?
Right.
You always get these people wherever you go. But that's what keeps Dre's Place Barbecue as a rotisserie turning. And that's what it's all about. So Dre's Place Barbecue as a rotisserie turns is being on the concession side of Dre's Place Barbecue. We love the people. And even those people that still act crazy, we still try to show them love, no matter what.
Right.
That's what it's all about, showing the people some love.
Now, I don't know if you want to get a secret. I know one, I'm not going to say it. I know one secret you gave up that's in your baked beans. But is it another secret that's in your baked beans as far as meat or anything? I'm watching now. I'm watching. I'm very observant.
That's just phenomenal, let me tell you. The baked beans are some kind of good. But I came up with that recipe about 20 years ago. Before people actually started putting meat in baked beans over 20 years ago, I came up with that recipe and started doing meat in my baked beans a long, long time ago. And we called it a blog pot.
A blog pot?
And that was the name of it. It was called a blog pot.
Okay.
Well, I changed the name when I got along to Dre's Place Barbecue to Dre's Place Barbecue Baked Beans.
Right.
But it was called a blog pot with all of the stuff that I put in it. It had a little sweetness to it, like a little, it had some sweetness to it. Back from the, like, you know, baked beans, traditionally has got a little bittery taste. And sometimes people put a little sugar to sweeten them up a little bit of the molasses in it.
Right.
I'll try it with molasses, and I've done that. And if I run out of sugar, I might put some molasses in it. I'm going to get the same sweetness.
Right.
So, I mean, there's just a couple ways you can cook them. But the way I cook them, it ain't no brown sugar in them. And what makes baked beans sweet is the pineapples, America. So, America, get on the bandwagon and try some Dre's Place barbecue baked beans out.
Yeah, you know, it's just a lot of little things. Like, because in the South, as far as your pork ribs, I see they got more meat on them, and they're much more bigger than if they was up here, you know.
Well, you got to order 4 and ups. See how I get big ribs? I order a certain size rib. Those are called 4 and ups, my ribs. You
say,
know, you can
say
order
again,
a 4 down rib as a smaller rib.
I got my pen. Now say again the big ribs.
About a 4 and up.
All right.
That's a big rib. Anything 4 and up is gonna be a big rib.
Okay.
Spare rib now. Spare rib. Don't get no other.
Right.
Now that's what I like using. Traditionally, that's what I like to use, a 4 and up rib.
Now, do you like short ribs? I heard you was a little fussy about those short ribs.
Yeah, I ain't crazy about short ribs now. In competitions in the South, that's what they use a lot of. Short, they use the St. Louis ribs, which is like a short rib.
Yeah.
I ain't crazy about them.
No,
and
I generate
more money out of a spare rib than I do short.
St. Louis ribs, man, they went fast. It was like they wasn't even there.
Yeah.
Just like there wasn't nothing there.
You cut your ribs down to St. Louis ribs, or you just buy them like that?
Well,
I cut them,
but I don't got to make them St. Louis because I cut my ribs up in small chunks. I maximize my profitability on the concession side of the company to make money, and I cut them up different.
Okay.
And I've been to some competitions and cooked with them, and I still like my spare ribs better than selling the people a St. Louis-style rib that they only get 1 or 2 bones, and they charge X amount of dollars for 1, 2, or 3 bones. As opposed to they might $10 and not give them a couple more bones, I get more profit, and they get more barbecue.
Okay. All right.
And that works for me.
Yeah.
But I got some friends, man. They sell, 700-800 slabs of them ribs. But I don't never get them like that and make money with them like that. I've never had good luck with them.
Yeah. Now, when I do my I do my fried chicken, like I'll fry it and then smoke it. I smoke it with apple, but I notice you do it backwards. You smoke it then fry it, right? Am I right?
No, I do a barbecue chicken wing that I fry first. I put it in barbecue sauce and I put it on the grill and I get it smoked up.
Yeah.
I put it in direct. And then
direct.
I put it back off the grill and put it back in the barbecue sauce and then put it back on the grill and get a hit with the fire on, just hitting it a little bit and pull them off and put them in the pan and sell them. They ready.
But see, mine won't be like yours because you got that 5th generation sauce that I don't have. So I'm lost in the sauce. Once I get that sauce, I'll be all right.
Well, we're going to put you on the stove, man. Don't worry. We're going to fix you up. I got a gallon waiting for you right now.
Hey, I'm coming.
And it ain't going to cost you one dime to get this gallon. This gallon's going to be on Trey's Place Barbecue.
All right.
This gallon's going to be on Trey's Place Barbecue. And I'm going to tell you another great thing we made that was really interesting over that last journey. I took Daryl over to my friend's house. And we had an opportunity to go into a tropical forest in America, in Florida, in Jacksonville, Florida. We got a chance to go into the most beautiful tropical forest you ever want to see. And, man, we had, he bought me a stalk of fresh bananas right off the stalk. Well, I waited a few days, I took them bananas, and I made some of the most awesome banana pudding you ever want to eat. Disappeared.
Yeah,
it was
gone,
wasn't it, Daryl?
It was gone before I knew what happened.
I seen that. Hopefully I can meet Dow too, huh? if he's around. Hopefully I can meet Daryl too if he's around. You know.
Yeah, now Daryl lives about 240 miles from me.
Oh, that ain't nothing but a couple cars.
You'll get to meet him in the summer. Well, maybe he ain't doing nothing. He'll ride up here this week.
That ain't nothing but a cup of coffee ride for me. I can ride now.
Hey, man, you never know how this journey going to turn out for you, you know?
Yeah.
And Daryl, he's got a lot of knowledge. His knowledge in barbecue is, like, phenomenal. And I know you've been around barbecue since you're looking at the page alone. Just take a look at the places he's been and the people he's met over these last 10 years or so. And the network he's building, man, is just like, got to be a part of it. I'm like you. Got to be a part of it. So one teach one how to be barbecue, man. That's what it's all about. And that's what's going to keep barbecues going on for generations after generations after generations. We all got to be the legacy of barbecue for our babies and our babies' babies.
I watched Dow too. He did a tailgate one up there at that football stadium. I forgot what football stadium.
Yeah. Which one was it? Clemson, Georgia Tech.
I think it was the Cox was up there. I think it was Georgia. It was the first one. They hadn't been there in a while. There was just brand new.
I went to Georgia and did a big show, and I did some interviews, and there was some dude down there who had every game book. You know, they make a book for what do they call them things? I forget anyway, but you get one when you go in, and he had one for Bo Jackson. The big running back from Georgia, big time. What was his name? Anyway, he had every game, every situation. We did an interview with him, and that really blew my mind. But there was a guy down by the stadium whose great-grandfather had that tailgate spot that gave it to his grandfather, that gave it to his dad, and his dad died, then he's got it. And it's like you gotta be, you know, connected in the community to even get near the stadium down in there. And so it was some pretty cool stuff. I tell you, they need to let you and Dre go out there and visit them games out in the parking lot. I mean,
I would do it.
Let people get something good to eat. You know, it just makes it better.
Yeah, I would do it with them.
Cause that sounds like something we might work on this year, one time or so.
Yeah, my future thing is to get with Dre. You know, and go out with him on the road for a little while and just, you know, like I said, I learned a lot from him. And like I said, I'm going to see him this weekend and I learned a lot from him. And then it takes me a lot to admire somebody. And he's just a good going guy, simple. He don't try to impress nobody. And what got me, he's a people's person. He don't try to impress nobody. It's just, you know, just out there. And just love people, and that's how I am. I love people. I love people to see them smile and eat. I always entertain at my house, you know. I just love people. You know, be here one time on earth, and you got to enjoy yourself while you're here. You know, sometimes you got to take time out. And I believe good eating and food bring a lot of people together. It brings a lot
of
people together. It does. A lot of people don't see that, but... You know, no matter how good a hard time you're having, you get a good barbecue and you get somebody together with some music, you're all right. You know,
man,
a little apple cider on the side. You know, you're doing all right.
You know, I think it can save the country. And you know, one thing I want to put out on the air tonight at Thanksgiving. Is the police officers in this country have got to change. They have got to change.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was an FBI agent that went through Tennessee, and he was pulled over by two Tennessee Drug Enforcement officers. And
they went up to the car and said, you know, you guys been speeding. Of course, they said we hadn't been speeding. And they said, well, we think you're carrying drugs or money in the car. So they got the man out, who was the FBI agent, put him in the corner, took the wife in the car, and said, we think you got drugs in the car.
Right.
I ain't got no drugs in the car. What makes you think I got drugs in the car? He said, I think you're lying to me. He said, we're going to take the dog out. We're going to go around your car, and if it alerts, we're going to search your car. Well, the FBI guy was watching everything they did, and what they did, when he could see the dog, they just walked him around there, but when he come around the other side, he couldn't see good. He did a motion with his hand to get him to alert. So then they proceeded to tear his car apart. It took 4 hours to put it back together. And then after it was all over, he said, by the way, fellas, I'm an FBI agent in California in some certain district. Gee whiz, guess what? You guys just screwed up. So they went all the way to CNN. And really, my message is that we need to eat some barbecue and get together. We need to stop trying to be bullies on each other. You know, if we all sides try to cooperate, and it's not like, you know, the police over here trying to get his agenda, which is not right, it's not correct, it shouldn't be done, maybe the other people will calm down and everybody can cooperate. But right now, if you go on YouTube, and I challenge everybody to do this, go on YouTube and look up, just put in police brutality. You're going to see hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of videos of police taking people down, beating them up, beating up people. There's no reason, no cause for it, you know. And one of the things I'll put out before I quit is CNN and those news networks need to stop putting people in fear, because the cops are in fear as well as the people. And
yes.
You know what? One thing about it, Dre can prove it, is that all people want the same things. All people are the same. Everybody who walks up to Dre's place, they're all treated and feel. You see him down there in Florida at the food truck wars. You see him up in Columbus, Georgia at the big fair. All them people come to the trailer. They act, feel, and do the same. And I just challenge, next time you want to beat up a pedestrian, think about, just go by and get yourself a big old plate of good barbecue. Eat it first, and then think about what you want to do next after that. You know.
Hey, look, let me tell you, we have all the police. All you got to do is follow the police. Where the police eat at, that's where everybody going just about come and eat. I always, at every event I go to, the police come to Dre's Place Barbecue. I don't care where it is, no big eyes, little eyes. From the top of Columbus, Ohio, and Miami, Ohio, to the furthest points of Miami, Florida, people come to Dre's Place Barbecue, the police does, and eat. And I show people love. Everybody should show people love. No big eyes, white, black, red. We all bleed the same color in America. When we bleed, we all bleed the same color, red. And what we got to do is learn to get along in this country. And that's what my object in life is, for everybody not to just like Dre's Place Barbecue, but let's get along together in this country and treat everybody with some love. I don't care who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do that, Americans, I promise you, you'll have so much more love in America, man. It'll just, I mean, your whole everything will take over and be different. That was a very important statement, Daryl.
I tell you one other thing that's true, and you can write this down, and everybody just think about what I'm saying. You can't run from the truth. When you do your actions now, later they'll be heard. Now think about that. Do your actions now, and later they'll be heard. And you know what? People know and react to the truth. Now, you might want to lie. You might want to make it into something that it isn't. But God has made this earth so the truth will always prevail. the truth is always going to be your problem. So think about that when you start to act. I'm going to act in honesty and decency because I know I'm going to do my actions now and later they'll be heard. So nothing done in the dark will hide. It will always come to the light. So think about that. Act like an honorable person. That way, the river of time will flow good. If you act like a dishonorable person, Drake, it always comes back home. The truth always comes back on you, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, it comes back.
Yes, sir.
No matter what.
Yep.
So,
yes,
America,
sir.
We just appreciate you guys stopping by Drake's Place Barbecue as Rotisserie Turns tonight. Mr. Rowland, we really appreciate you stopping by because it made us have a great show this evening.
Okay.
And this is my first rodeo, but this won't be my last rodeo. And hopefully we can get you up in Boston talking on the radio. Maybe we figure out how to get a show and get you hosting it. And we're going to open some new doors up your way. And this thing is just about process. You know, you don't never know when the miracle is going to happen or how it's going to happen. You just know it's going to happen if you keep doing what's right.
Got that right.
If you do what's right, things will happen for you, and they'll be very positive. And you just keep your good faith going, and what you love to do most, cook barbecue and meet people and make people happy. And that's
all right.
That's what this journey is all about.
All right.
Daryl, do we got any more callers on the line?
No, I sure don't. We're going to end it off with a little White Christmas from Bing Crosby, and Mike, a little Nat King Cole before we get off, and y'all ready for a big happy Christmas?
We ready for a big happy Christmas?
Yep. Boston loves you, Dre.
Hey, America, thank you for tuning in to Dre's Place as the Rotisserie Turns tonight. And we've had a great season, and you guys keep your prayers up for me and my recovery. And we will be back at them stronger and harder than we ever been before this year. So we're going to be looking to do a lot of great new things. Got some great new people that's going to be involved with USA Barbecue Association. Boston, we coming to your town. We coming
yes,
to the
sir.
Bean Town. Dre's Place Barbecue going to have to show up and show out. And America, we're going to show up where and show out wherever we're at in America for Dre's Place Barbecue as the Rotisserie Turns. We love you guys. Merry Christmas and a happy
love
new
you.
Year.
You too. Love you. All
love
right.
You, brother. Brother Daryl, it's another great show. Thank you for inviting us.
Trying to play the music. It'll come on here in a second.
Oh, okay. Thank you for inviting us.
Yeah, man. I really enjoyed it. I hope you all have a great night.
We will. Thank you. Peace.
Peace.
Just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells. of a white Christmas. With every Christmas card I write, may your days be merry and bright. May all your Christmases be white.
We'd like to wish everybody a very merry Christmas. You know, Tom, you always have to hear from Mariah Carey. I love Mariah. And here she is.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mariah Carey.
More than you could ever know.
Well, I want to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And we'll be back tomorrow night with Friday Night Lights. Good night.